We'll open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And verses 15 to 17. We're going to read God's Word in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, holy word to our hearts. Life is about something more. Life is about something more. Maybe you'd like me to finish the sentence or finish the thought. But I don't finish it. I don't finish that when I speak with men and women, young people in our country, when I witness to them. I let them think about it. Now, of course, that provokes the question, more than what? But I ask you, more than what? I ask people I witness to, well, what is your life about? Life is about something more. Many people, when I ask them what their life is about, when we get to that point in the relationship, and sometimes it's even in the first opportunity I have to witness to them, quite often it's in the first opportunity, I don't know if I'll see them again, I confront them with that, because they're living a life. And many people live a life without thinking much more of where they're going. I know this message is meant to be addressed to young people. Of course, it's addressed to all of us. But young people who are here, my heart goes out to you. I've been working with young people my whole life. I did not mention that I was a teacher in the Whitfield Christian School. I was a teacher before I even came there. And I've been teaching now for some 16, 17 years, mostly high school or now, the last 4 years, university students, young adults. And I love young people. I love to minister to them. But I see the many battles they're fighting. I see the enticements of the world. And I see the impact it has in the lives of young people. When you're younger, you're much more vulnerable. I say we are always very vulnerable, but in those forming years, the devil is extra busy to draw you away from the things of God, to lure you into the things of the world. Where do you stand today? Life is about something more. It's more than money. I'll give you a bit of a list. Most people would not like to admit to that. But the fact is, usually, I look at some of these young people and they would have to admit, once they start to try to answer what their life is about, the meaning of their life, well, what are some of the typical answers they would like to have? Make a certain amount of money, a good amount, so they could live comfortably. They could buy this sort of a house. They could maybe buy a nice car and maybe have a nice cottage and live a nice life. Have money. Money. Purpose in life. But many would not like to admit to that, because as they think about it, they realize that maybe it's not a very good purpose or a very good answer to that question. Maybe even they recognize, and I find that quite often people recognize as they start to describe what the purpose of their life is, they start to recognize that that is really a bit empty after all. And so they go on to other things. closely connected to money, you would have, of course, position and fame. And then when you go from there, you would come to things like a life's work. Maybe that's more of a worthy cause or purpose. A life's work. People want to leave something behind. Maybe do something noble. Accomplish something. Man's accomplishments. Achievements. Let's look at what the Word of God tells us. Solomon, one of the richest, most accomplished men who ever lived, in Ecclesiastes, we read in chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Verse 4, I'll read a few verses here. I'll be jumping a little bit, but Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. Planted trees in them of all kind of fruit. I made me pools of water to water there with the wood that brings forth fruit. The fourth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments. Music. And that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Man's work. Great accomplishment. So, how many people could compare to Solomon in the greatness of works, the accomplishments of life, the achievements, the wealth, the fame that went out into all the world? But he testifies, all vanity. Some people today live for sports. I have to say, sport in our culture has become a great god to people. I think of the culture I come from, the United States and Canada. There are people who live by sports. It's their idol. Canadians are huge hockey fans. They live by that sport. The Americans, huge football fans. American football, that is. It's a religion. It's a religion to them. Sunday football. A desecration of the Lord's Day. But they live for it. What a testament to the decline of that culture. The departure from God. My grandfather was one of the best tennis players in the world in the 1930s. He played with some of the greatest names in the game at that time. But the Lord saved him. The Lord saved him and called him into the ministry. My grandfather was a Baptist minister and my father as well. I'm a third generation minister now. But my grandfather saw firsthand, and I have seen it, what worldly fame is really all about. How empty it is. You know, I thought often when I looked in hindsight at my grandfather's life, and I thought of how famous he was. And he had different albums in at the cottage of dozens and dozens of newspaper articles, photographs, with the greatest players in the game. He played the World Professional Tennis Championships. He was a professional, so they were not allowed to play amateur tournaments. Wimbledon was an amateur tournament in those days. But in exhibition matches, they would play some of the Wimbledon champions, the professionals. It was a professional tour. They were a separate tour. The World Professional Championships in the 1930s was played in Berlin, Germany, the capital of the Third Reich. That, at that time in the 30s, was the center of the world. The Germans hosted the 1936 Olympic Games, and they wanted to show to the world that they were the greatest race. And Hitler built one of the greatest Olympic complexes ever. In those years, for about 8 years, my grandfather played the World Professional Tennis Championships in Berlin. In front of some of the most powerful men in the world, mixing in the high society, he got an invitation from one of the greatest players in the game, Bill Tilden, who was a depraved man. He lived a very wicked life, and my grandfather knew it. And this man approached him in a prestigious country club and said to him, "Milosh, I'd like to invite you to be a part of our tennis circus." He had a special tennis circus of the top 4 or 5 professionals in the world in the United States. They played in the biggest venues in the 1930s in America, including Madison Square Garden, in front of tens of thousands of people. It made huge money. But my grandfather knew the type of man he was and publicly denounced him when he came to him. He would not take his hand. He said, "Remove from me that filthy hand of yours. Your life is an abomination to God. I will have no part of it." Sports, an idol for people. For many, whether they realize it or not, the purpose in life. They go on from 1 year to the next following their team, and that's their chief preoccupation. But then maybe there are worthier purposes. Some people would look upon marriage as a fulfillment in life. Let me tell you, young people, if you think marriage is going to fulfill your life, you'll be disappointed. Only God can fulfill your life. If you think finding the girl of your dreams or the young man of your dreams is going to complete your life, you'll be bitterly disappointed, because life is about something more. Talking about marriage, what a critical issue it is. What a valued institution. Ordinance. Matthew Henry writes about marriage, and he says that the Lord gave 2 ordinances to man in innocency, in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. 2 ordinances, the Sabbath and marriage. 1 for the preservation of the church, and 1 for the preservation of man. But what has happened to marriage? What has happened to marriage? In our culture, it is a dying institution. It is very normal for people to live together outside of marriage. It is completely normal. It doesn't faze them at all. Now, I know that's starting to happen everywhere, but God's word, God's order, trampled. And what do we have? Lies, corruption, thievery, unfaithfulness, murder, violence, children without homes, children without love and care. Cultures that are broken. Nations broken. When we go against God's word, we bring God's judgment. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Marriage, an institution given by God Himself. But if we think that marriage will bring us fulfillment, we will be bitterly disappointed. You will only go as far in your marriage. This is for everybody who's married here as well. As far as you go with the Lord individually, personally, let me tell you that. You will only be as far in your marriage and in a blessed relationship, as far as you will be individually first with the Lord. If you're not doing right with, if you are not walking with the Lord, personally, you will have problems in your marriage. I can testify to that. When the Lord really started to work in our lives with my wife personally, He blessed our relationship. And He blesses our relationship more and more the closer we are to Him personally. You will not find fulfillment in finding the partner of your dreams. What about family? Having a family. One woman told me some years ago in the Czech Republic, I was ministering to her and she was not interested whatsoever in the things of God. And I asked her, what is the purpose of your life? What is your life about? Well, she had to think about it for a minute and then she told me, my children. I wonder how many people would answer in that way. But what if you don't have any children? What if your children leave you, and they will in time most likely leave? What if they disappoint you? But let's just say they do not disappoint you and they're a joy to you. What good will that be when you face eternity? When you look back at your life, is that what your life was really about? What about serving others? Now, many religions are built upon this. Seeking for a purpose in life. Serving others, that seems like a worthier cause. A noble cause. But if it's outside of a love for God and a personal relationship with the Lord, it's empty. You look at a woman who was very noted for her life of service, Mother Teresa, Catholic nun. Noted for her service, life service to the less fortunate. But at the end of her life, after she died, some disturbing reports surfaced from her letters and diary of the lack of peace she had in her soul, the struggles she had spiritually. She called out to God, and the very words from her diary were that she found nothing but emptiness and darkness. You know, that is false religion. That's the result of false religion. A life's work of service to the less fortunate. Denial of self. Denial of all the luxuries of the world, the comforts. What good is it for? Often, this woman often hailed by so-called evangelicals. Very foolish. False religion. How sad. I think of environmentalism. There are people today, of course that's a big issue, that have made that their religion. It's their life's mission, it's their life's purpose. There are people who will do more for a tree than for a living soul. For a whale or their dog than for a person in need. A man in his rebellion against God became vain in his imagination, as we read in Romans 1. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. And then in verse 25, Romans 1:25, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Meaning in life. What is your life about? As we look at this text we read, we see these things summarized. We read that the world passeth away. A faithful servant of God, when speaking upon this subject, looked at many aspects of the world passing away. We are conscious of the fact that this world is not indefinitely preserved. Young people, realize this world, this earth, is reserved unto judgment. That is why I do not worry about the environment. We as believers ought to deal and live responsibly. To love the Lord's creation in its own, in the right place, in the right way. I believe that a believer can enjoy God's creation more than anyone else, certainly. We see the hand of God in it. It's our Father's world. He created it. It's a wonderful thing to enjoy God's creation. And I know that the Lord has promised to preserve it until He comes. In Genesis 8:22, the Lord says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease." That's comforting. So I do not worry about anything else. The earth will remain as long as it's meant to remain. But it's not going to remain forever. It passeth away. It's reserved unto judgment, and the elements will melt in fervent heat. And this earth is going to melt down. Man is trying to preserve it. How foolish! Worry about your soul. Never mind the earth. Leave that to the Lord. Scientists are telling us that the earth is growing warmer, hotter, the climate is changing. You know, but it's really very ridiculous, because I remember many times when the forecast for the upcoming weekend was completely wrong. And they will tell you what will happen in 30 years and 50 years and whatever other years. That's man's preoccupation. But I know that the world passeth away, because the Bible tells me so. So what's the purpose of my life? Am I worrying about the environment? Or am I worrying about living souls? And first of all, my soul and the condition of my soul before Almighty God. The world is passing away. We see it in many different ways. Yes, the biological, the physical world as we see it. But what about the political science? The way things are in the world today. The economies. Europe has been shaken. The United States has been shaken. It's a very unstable world we're living in. Politically, there's a fear of nuclear weapons in the hands of the wrong people. You know, I thank the Lord we don't have to worry about those things. We serve a sovereign God. There is not one thing that will happen that the Lord does not Himself direct and control. What a liberty we have. What a peace we can have and enjoy in the Lord. There are signs that the world is passing away when it comes to morality. In 2 Timothy 3, and let's remind ourselves of this list that the Lord gives in this portion of Scripture, but certainly we have many portions of Scriptures that deal with these moral signs. In 2 Timothy 3, reading from verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Look at the world today. Like never before, disobedience to parents. Like never before. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, sexual immorality, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. I have to say, one of the things that describes our world, and I could say the Czech Republic, oh, people, they love their pleasures. The weekend comes and they want to do this and they want to do that. They love sports. They go out for a bike ride and go swimming. How many people told me that, you know, they can't come to the service because they're going swimming? And one fellow was teaching his child how to ride the bicycle. And then in verse 5, having a form of godliness. And that is for people that profess to be believers. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Moral signs. The world is passing away. But then we read, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. We read of these lusts in verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, indulging in fleshly pleasures. Again, looking for fulfillment in satisfaction and pleasure. I wonder, young people, has your mind been purified by the Lord? Can you look at a young woman as a soul that needs the Lord, or as a sister in the Lord with a purity of thought? Or have you been infected by the evils of this world? Look at the billboards out there. Look at the magazines, television. It's all around. You're bombarded by immorality, sensuality, lewdness. And the devil is busy corrupting minds. The lust of the flesh, fleshly pleasures, things that excite, inflame the pleasures of the flesh, writes Matthew Henry. The lust of the eyes, riches, rich possessions, craved by an extravagant eye. The lust of covetousness. We've talked about some of these things today. We've heard of the lust of the eyes, the desires of the things of the world, the toys of the world, the pride of life, grandeur, pomp, a vainglorious life, ambition, thirst after honor. God's word tells us, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. These things pass away, dear young people, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let's look again. What is the purpose of our life? Are we pressing on to the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord's things? Do you love that above everything else? Do you seek His kingdom first and His righteousness? Or have you been distracted? Have you at least been distracted? Maybe it's much more than that. Maybe you are pulled strongly by the lures of this world. Call unto the Lord. Call unto the Lord to help you, to draw you unto Himself. The lusts, those things, they will come to nothing but destruction and ruin. I have seen many, many young people ruin their life. Remember teaching a young man, he was in grade 8 maybe at the time, and 9, 10, and he left our school. He was from a troubled background, but how many times I talked to that young man, how I tried to reach out to him, how I felt for him with the troubled background he came from. But a couple of years later, I heard he was in jail. And I could start to number different cases and tragic stories of young people that sat under the Word of God in the assembly messages in school, in youth meetings, in youth rallies, in the church. Young people I grew up with that sang in the church, that sometimes even took some sort of a leadership role. And they have made a ruin of their life. A wreck of their life. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Life is about something more. Life. Fulfillment in life. The purpose of life, the chief end of man, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever in a living relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came that we might have life. Do you want life? You might say, I have life. You do not have life until you know the Lord. You did not begin to live. You did not begin to live. You are dying men. Dying people. But when the Lord comes into your life, you have life. You have found life. The Lord has come. that we might have life, and have life more abundantly in its fullness. We are made complete in Him. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing missing. Are you looking for something else? Are you still looking for something? Are you looking for some satisfaction somewhere else? You will not find it. Maybe you don't believe me. I pray that the Lord would really impress this upon your heart, because it's the truth. Not because I say so, but because God's Word says so. Never mind what I say. Confront it with the Word of God. Check the Bible. Be a Berean Christian. Whether these things be so. The Bible speaks of these things. You only begin to live when you come to know the Lord as your Lord and as your Savior. When you find forgiveness in Him. When you come to know Him as your friend. And then the love of the Lord constrains you to live for Him. You know, there must be that fruit. There must be that zeal for the Lord's things. And you confess that to the Lord when things are not the way they ought to be. Don't be looking for anything else. Matthew Henry says these words, and it has been a favorite quotation of mine. A man is not free when he does what he wishes to do, but when he wishes to do and does what he ought to do. A man is not free when he does what he wishes to do, but when he wishes to do and does what he ought to do. What should we do? We ought to live for the glory of God. And our bodies are to be presented a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Have you done that? If you are a believer, are you living for the Lord in every aspect of your life? There's joy in that. There's joy in that. There's fulfillment in that. There is a great purpose that the Lord has given to us, whereby we might live a life of rich, full meaning, a life of joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer writes, "There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are." We are more than conquerors in the Lord, who has loved us. And if you do not know the Lord today, I trust the Lord would speak to your heart. Your life must be about something. What is it about? What is your life about if you do not know Him today? What are you looking for? You will not find it anywhere else. Don't waste another minute. There isn't any time to waste. Today is the day of salvation. May the Lord help you to call unto Him. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Lord will save you. This poor man cried unto the Lord one day, and the Lord delivered him. And He will deliver you. May the Lord help us all to live for the glory of God. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen.